The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Final hour of the show on this Monday, 30 January. George Brockler with The George Show here. Our number 303-696-1971. Text coming in. We have been talking about the Tyre Nichols death at the hands of five police officers in Memphis. It has been everywhere for a little bit, but since the video was released on Friday, a great deal of conversation about things that are going on. Of course, this event is going to be politicized. And we'll talk about that, what that looks like. But I wanted to finish with the discussion of a couple things. One, I played the audio, and I'll play it again here, of that I found to be particularly disturbing was during the altercation. And there's four videos out there. You can go find them online. I did. This is the altercation, not the first one, where he's pulled over and he's managed to get out of the car and get away from the cops and run away. Even that's inexplicable how they let him get away. But they reacquire him. Apprehend him, and then the beat is on, right, as they're trying to get him handcuffed, and they continue to scream at him, show us your hands, show us your hands, show us your hands, and you can hear him call for his mom. More on that in just a minute, though, but take a listen.
Hey! Watch out! Mom!
Now, for me, the screaming, the 29-year-old guy that screams out for his mom was a sign of some incredible desperation and fear. And I had referenced this Saving Private Ryan scene with Giovanni Ribisi. You'll remember that one. Billy and I were talking about it off air. But a couple of texters here have sort of changed the context in which that happened. There are some folks that have said that they heard stories that this was about 80 feet from his mom's house, that it was in the neighborhood where his mom lives, and that he could very well, maybe likely was, screaming out for his mom. Now, it's still calling for help, but it's different if he believes his mom can hear him and that he's trying to summons her to this area. That does make it slightly different for me. And then someone texted, is that the only cut you have? No, if you listen to the last hour, you know that I've played three cuts so far, and I've got another one coming. But thank you, texter, for only listening to the first few seconds of the show. Here's one. My parents lived in this neighborhood about two blocks from where it happened. I believe his mother's house was close by. This is not inner city, but outskirts of Memphis. We had to move my mom out here after my dad passed because neighborhood was getting so bad. She still has friends there. Well, that's something, too, to give a complexion for the neighborhood, because I'll tell you, it impacts, honestly, how officers approach any situation. You're going to Cherry Hills or Castle Pines, you have a different kind of spidey sense than if you're rolling up on a neighborhood where you've been out there a whole bunch of times for a lot of violent crime and other stuff. You just have a different approach to it. I imagine that that's true, too. Now, there's a couple parts of this video that are inexplicable to me. There's one. It's a far-off video, almost like from a neighbor's house or something. Maybe it was on a pole. But it's adjustable because you see them adjusted. But there is a scene there where one of the officers comes running in and appears to kick this guy. Big old kickball kick like you would do on the playground. Inexplicable. I can't imagine a situation in which there are four cops on a guy and another one shows up and kicks him. What that's supposed to accomplish other than an act of revenge. And certainly not, you're not able to subdue someone simply by deciding you want to give them a kick when there's four on them. The other part I don't get is four guys, one on each arm, one on each leg. How difficult is it to subdue someone? Now, we don't know yet what his toxicology is going to show. I haven't heard. Maybe you've already heard some. I haven't. That could give us some indication. But one of the other scenes that takes place in these videos, and if you listen, I think you can actually hear this happen. One of the officers, he steps back. He's behind one of the cars while they're struggling with this guy. And the guy's working him. Four guys are yelling, show us your hands, or give us your hands, give us your hands. And this guy kind of loses his patience, and he pulls out a collapsible baton, And he comes around the corner, and he swings at this guy twice and hits him twice. I don't know if it's in the head. I don't know if it's in the body. But if you listen to this clip as this guy starts yelling, like he's had enough, you can hear kind of the thump twice on this. You hear that? There are two subtle little thuds in there, and this guy's screaming, give us your hands, give us your hands, as he's hitting him with this collapsible baton. It's in the context in which it happens, it's really very difficult to understand. It is, it's horrific judgment. Now, again, there are officers after the fact that say, hey, he was going for our gun, he was trying to disarm us. If that's true, that changes a little bit of the complexion. Doesn't warrant that full-on, you know, let's beat him down and, in essence, beat him to death. It doesn't warrant that, but it does warrant the use of considerable force to try to keep this guy from taking a firearm. That is a big, big deal. That's a life-or-death deal, and that's how they can treat it. But I didn't see that in the video. I didn't see that in any of the videos. You'll remember some guys, they're using pepper spray. And then the dude starts screaming. Here's what happens. There is a, when you use OC spray or whatever this pepper spray is that they've deployed here, there's a stream, but it's not so targeted that it can't have a residual effect on those around this person. So you see some of the cops reacting to the fact that they're getting some blowback from the OC spray on them as well. And it's getting in their eyes. There's also a propellant that comes out of it. It's not just straight OC. There's a propellant that shoots it out of the little canister. Well, that propellant, if you squirt it too close to a person's face, that propellant can actually overwhelm the OC spray, and it doesn't have the same impact as if you stood back 3 or 4 feet. So you see these guys using the OC spray on this guy repeatedly. And then the hands are on him, and the beating part is just tough. And at one point after that, when you hear Tyree trying to make words, I can't tell if he's having trouble formulating words because of a head injury or injury to his mouth, but he is not the same guy. He is not sounding like the same guy. There are some texters in here that said, yes, heard the report. It was a poll cam. Okay, thank you. It all starts with resisting. There's a lot of cuts on that. Yeah, it all starts with resisting. I get it. But that's not the Katie bar the door for the cops to exercise anything that they want to do. I get it. He's resisting being detained. The real question here is if there's no reckless driving, if they can't prove up why they contacted him, even that resisting becomes a question mark. George, of course, the five officers were way out of line. However, I feel like police departments are underfunded, underappreciated, and overworked. They're fed up and stressed with picking up and arresting the same people over and over again. Too many of the best cops are retiring or choosing to leave the profession because too many people no longer have respect for authority. The reason the suspect got away and they had to keep chasing him is the cops can no longer use certain holds that they were taught in training. I'm not justifying their behavior. It's heartbreaking and absolutely disgusting and horrible. I agree. But is that what's going on here, folks? Do you see this as a natural outgrowth of the post-George Floyd era, where we have demoralized police, we've caused veteran police officers to retire, and other maybe good street cops who would be good street cops to just simply not apply for the profession? Is this part of this? Is this the result of George Floyd? It's not to take any responsibility away from the officers, but is this situation and the response to it the product of George Floyd? Is that what happened? Here's another texter. What injuries were the cause of death? I think they said it was blunt force trauma or something, but I can't remember. I didn't go back and look at what was released on that. I can't listen to this. It's too painful to hear that young man's last words. It's ridiculous because this crap just keeps escalating. Cops, black or white, at the end of the day are still cops. What's worse? People keep voting for politicians who are soft on crime, so this stuff will not stop until everything has changed, top to bottom. Is this a soft on crime thing? Did this happen because we're soft on crime? 303-696-1971. Why did this happen? And what's the fix? I heard Jim Jordan say there's no amount of training that can fix these five guys. I agree. This doesn't feel like a training issue. Feels like a supervision issue. Feels like, and that in that way, it could be a resource issue. Also, why didn't Memphis burn to the ground? Why didn't Memphis see what Minneapolis saw? Why didn't Memphis become Minneapolis Part 2, or Seattle for that matter? Is it because they released the body cam quickly? I can't imagine that's it. I mean, I think that is definitely helpful on the transparency side. I cannot imagine that. Is it because mom came forward and asked for peace? I think there's some value to that. I do. I think there's some value to the fact that mom came forward and said that. But don't you think in the back of your mind, don't you have that sneaking suspicion, and maybe you've even said it out loud, that it's because all five of these officers were black? Isn't that it? Picture the same Scorpion unit with the same stupid Scorpion name, but they're all five white guys. And these five white guys put a beating on this African-American man, this 29-year-old man, 80 feet from his mom's house, apparently. Do you think that we would be exactly where we're at today? Wouldn't this be viewed so differently? I mean, look, even Al Sharpton is coming out, apparently, to give that, which is a joke, but given the eulogy for this young man. But can you imagine what would have happened if these were five white officers instead of five black officers? Is it even wrong to have the conversation? Because in my mind, if it's five white cops, Memphis right now is on fire. I don't know. And then, of course, there are the typical cries that take place. Here's one. Memphis didn't burn because they did not include the white cop. Yep, that's part of it. Hi, George. Saw the comments on the internet that rumors are that Tyree was sleeping with one of the cop's wives. Now, listen, I know that there's a conspiracy theory out there for every single thing. I'd love to know if that's true. If that's true, this then probably moves from second-degree murder to first-degree murder if that cop is involved in this. Seems like the way the cop pulled him out of the car and the ensuing beating, that it could be personal. I don't know. I hate to jump to conclusions like that. And the internet is so full of rumors, guys. I don't know. You know, there's rumors out there that the election was stolen. No, I'm kidding. Also, have they come up with any footage showing the supposed erratic driving? I don't think they have. Billy's been on this thing, too. He hasn't seen anything. Apparently, the police department's struggling to try to figure out why they pulled him over because they don't see it. That information should be forthcoming, too. But here's what's happened. Now politicians have rushed forward on this. And as awful as this is and as viral as the video has gone, does that make it the kind of national issue that cries out for the governor of the state of Colorado to issue some kind of a press release on this after the body cam? Not after it happened, after the body cam. And sure enough, our own Governor Polis did it. He issued a press release that says violence has no place in our country, state, and communities as we heal together during this difficult time. Are we all healed? I mean, are we all hurt together? I think this is traumatic and awful, and these cops ought to be held accountable. But is this a wound to you? Is this a wound to Colorado that this thing took place? No parent should have to experience what the Nichols family is going through. Agreed. I appreciate the swift action by Tennessee law enforcement. Who cares? Who cares what you appreciate? Why are you chiming in on what is largely a local crime? Now, keep in mind, the feds are going to take a look at this, too. And if there's any chance at all for Merrick Garland to rip this away under some sort of violation of civil rights, they're going to do it. But this is a local crime. Local cops killed a man, and it was not for race. It was not for race. Why is this a national issue? The George Floyd thing, I get it, man. That's because of the video. Because it went viral. It was white on black. I understand. But is this the kind of thing now where everything like this that happens anywhere in the country, we can now expect Governor Polis to jump out and decry it from Colorado? I mean, I don't remember other governors coming forward after STEM and saying our hearts go out to the families from STEM. Why does this keep happening in Colorado? Something needs to be done in Colorado. Our attitude would be, we don't care about your opinion. Shut up. But here, we've got a governor that wants to run for president who's going to find every opportunity to politicize. And that's what he's done here, is to politicize this horrific event. Americans need to be able to trust those who have chosen to protect them and serve their communities. That's all true. And then he goes into a description of what we did here to break law enforcement by passing that SB 217. There's, and again, adopting a ridiculous line we've heard from the attorney general to, there's more work to do. There's always more work to do to continue building this trust. I'm proud of the community-driven, bipartisan initiatives being pursued here. Well, one thing he ought to be saying is, federal government, do not tell us how to run our police departments. Because as much as I was opposed to certain portions of SB 217, what I do appreciate is at least it came from the state of Colorado. Now, I don't want the state of Colorado to tell Montrose Sheriff's Office or Delta Police Department, if they have one, how to run them. So I don't want the state of Colorado. I don't want the Boulder Denver corridor telling them what standards their law enforcement should have. But I am much more open-minded to the state doing it than having the feds do it. And this is where we are. We now have cries from those on the left and even some on the right, some Republicans, that there must be action taken by Congress to address police officers. Why? What business is it of Congress about local law enforcement? This doesn't feel like this has anything to do with what was intended when we created Congress, that they were going to step in and pass some laws that govern how local law enforcement does its business on local crime. I don't think so. But that's what's coming. Even Tim Scott, and I like Tim Scott quite a bit. I think that guy could be president of the United States. Tim Scott came out last year, you'll remember, and with Cory Booker, who is the wildly liberal Democrat governor, I'm sorry, senator from New Jersey, who used to be a mayor of one of the cities out there. They had some quote-unquote bipartisan legislation to try to tackle some of this stuff. It couldn't pass. And even today, the real risk will be, what will Republicans in the House of Representatives do with this? Because, of course, they're very pro-law enforcement, and they should also be very pro-states' rights on this and keep the federal government from dictating how local law enforcement should do its business. But this is what's coming for us. This will be the new wedge issue that the Dems use. And given where we're at in true blue Colorado right here, expect that to be an issue we hear more of here. We hear more of too. I just don't know if they can sustain it through all of 2024. This is a text. If the guys were white guys, Graceland would have been a pile of ashes. Yep, it would have. They'd have burned the thing to the ground. Someone else referencing Ashley Babbitt. And I said, well, what's the connection there? And it's like, it begins with the resisting. I don't see Ashley Babbitt as anything close to Tyree Nichols. Tyree Nichols wasn't trying to break into the Capitol while a mob was behind her chanting things about trying to get the Congress people. So I don't see that. I don't see that being the case at all. What I do think is that we're at a place right now where this issue, this horrific, horrible issue, which should be a story that gets covered, and it's got, it's got national eyes on it, but in no way should this result in calls from any elected representative in the state of Colorado for greater local or national change. Let's deal with what we have here in the state of Colorado and not simply react to what takes place in other jurisdictions. We are not Tennessee. We are not Minneapolis. And while you think about out there, especially if you're on the left under the Golden, while you think about the other laws that you can pass that will further demoralize law enforcement, further tell them we don't trust them here in the state of Colorado for the actions of a handful, think about what's next, right? Like, we're in an environment where crime is surging, and contrary to the governor's words, we're not in the middle of the pack on really anything. We are huge, right? Like, we are at the top in a whole bunch of crime categories. What are we, top three or four in increased homicide rate? Number one in America on car theft? Is that what's leading to this? When we get less officers with less resources and less support, do they end up becoming, as a function of that, more aggressive? They have less supervision out on the street, less sergeants. And they end up making these kinds of decisions, these adrenaline-driven decisions? I don't know. It doesn't get them off the hook for sure, but it does make me wonder, what's the fix for this? Or is there one? Or is this just an anomaly? Is this just a one-off with these five guys? 303-696-1971. We're going to cut away for a break here, but not before I tell you about a superstar in the law. And that's a guy named Dan Kaplis. Dan Kaplis and Barbara Wahid are in Dan's law firm crushing it on behalf of victims. Now, Dan, of course, the son of a retired Chicago police officer who walked a beat, I think, forever. He's got a great deal of respect for law enforcement. He's also been a guy who's been out there willing, when necessary, to hold law enforcement accountable for the mistakes that they make. That's true, too. And that's the kind of person that you want on your side, the person that does the right thing for the right reason. The only person that Kaplis will be beholden to is his client. And when I say that, I mean the big insurance companies show up, they try to blow him down. That's not going to happen. They try to show up and intimidate he and Bobber. That isn't going to happen. I've seen it too often. And I don't want to make it seem silly, like they're laughing in the face of adversity, but these guys are unflappable. In fact, they're driven by the idea that the more the insurance company wants to push back and bully and intimidate, the more there's some reason that they want to do it. And they're going to find that reason. They're going to find that pressure point, and they're going to push on it until the person that harmed you is made to try to help make you whole. Even if you can't get back to 100% of a pain-free life, these folks will get you as much justice as you can possibly get out of our system. And they've proven it time and again, whether it's the five consecutive multi-million dollar outcomes, the biggest verdict against a trucking company in the history of the state. Don't waste any more time here. If you or someone you love has been hurt by someone else, I don't care if it's government, private sector, whatever, pick up the phone and call 303-770-5551. 303-770-5551. Or you can go to dankaplislaw.com. That's Dan Kaplis, C-A-P-L-I-S, law.com. When we come back, you, me, the text, the calls, George Brockler on The George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here at 710 KNUS. Listen, some texters coming in. This is, again, an interesting one. The heat coming down on the Biden camp for his handling of classified documents, and what do you know? We get a cop beat down. Wow, how convenient. And I texted back, what does that mean? Do you think this was invented? Like, this was something that was done by someone to distract from Biden? Or is it that the coverage is intentionally focused on this so that it will distract from Biden? I don't feel that at all, man. I don't see that. I think it's convenient. I think it helps, that's for sure. But I don't think that that was the only story being talked about at the time. This is just one that is unique because we have so many different angles of the camera on it, and it looks so overwhelmingly negative. Here's another one. It all starts with resisting. Yeah, it starts with resisting. I don't understand why you keep saying that. So what? It starts with resisting. Then what? Once you start resisting, how about this? How about the idea that are we rapidly growing into a period of time, much like the don't pursue policies that some of these other jurisdictions like Denver, like you get in a high speed chase with Denver because of the risk to other people, they'll just let you go. They don't even care. They'll let you go. Now, Douglas County doesn't have that policy. They will pursue you until you're done. And that's either captured or done. Weld County's the same way. Are we rapidly approaching a period of time where when someone resists arrest, depending upon the crime for which they were being contacted, we just let them go? If they want to run away, we just let them go. We'll catch up to him some other time. We had his car, for God's sake. We just let him go. I mean, does it matter that they're trying to contact him for reckless driving? Maybe we feel differently. If someone's trying to resist and get away and we think they're good for sexual assault on a child or murder, we say absolutely not. You do everything you can to keep that dude in custody. But if it's someone that's pulled over for a traffic violation and they try to run away, do we just shrug it off and go, well, not worth the risk. Just don't pursue. 303-696-1971. Nick, you're on 710. What do you think?
I just want to make a couple of general comments about being a policeman, not only in this country, but in the rest of the world. It's one of those occupations where there's no room for error. You could have 99 cops that are honest and do everything by the book, and that one cop does something bad for whatever reason, and all of a sudden it taints the other 99. Police are always under the microscope, and especially in our society today. And I would love to see, but it's not going to happen. One of my major peeves is that we haven't had any real leaders in this country for a long, long time. I would love to see the president, which will not happen, to come out and explain some basic facts about police work and how the police have been under the gun and how we as a society have dumped a lot of problems on the police department. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh. I'm here. how the police department is getting blamed for a lot of things they have no control over.
Well, this is definitely one that they're getting blamed for because they did have control over it. But to what end does that conversation get us? Where do we end up with that?
Well, because the narrative that you hear a lot, not everywhere, but a lot, is that the police are bad, the police are racist, the police are this, police are that. And we are, as a society, are dumping a lot of problems on the police department that they were never designed or trained to handle. Now, I'm not excusing what happened. I have not seen the video. I'm sure it's pretty graphic. And what happened should have never happened. But I'm looking at the big picture. We need to start looking at this with the long view.
Is this a national issue?
Yes and no, in my opinion. Yes, there are some police departments that are racist, but most police are not racist. Most policemen don't get up in the morning and say to themselves, "God, I'm going to strap on a gun and I want to make sure I get in a gunfight and shoot somebody." That's not the way that works.
No,
and you know that.
I know that.
Most police go through their entire career, even the ones that are on the patrolling the street, without ever having to pull a gun, or if they did pull a gun on somebody, it was maybe one or two times. Of course, if you look at these TV cop shows, every time they walk out the door, it's a gunfight at the OK Corral.
Nick, let me posit something to you here. If this had been five African-American police officers, same exact conduct, same exact way, but they beat down a 29-year-old white guy. One, do you think it's national news? And two, do you think Governor Polis weighs in on this and issues the kind of a press release that he did on behalf of Tyree?
I think that there have been plenty of instances where black cops have beaten up on white people. However, it wouldn't have had the voltage that this situation has. As far as Polis is concerned, I just wish he'd stop being a petty little bureaucrat or a politician. And if he really has national aspirations, he should act like that. He should act a little bit more Reagan-esque, if that's possible.
I think this press release that he issued, this statement on this, is because he's trying to weigh in on these national issues for the benefit of his future national campaign.
That's
what it feels like to me.
Did
49 other governors all weigh in? Maybe they did. I'd still be pissed off if they did. But I don't know how many other governors chimed in on this.
But what I mean, the problem with the police department is that it's an occupation where there's no tolerance for failure. It only takes one out of 100 cops to do something really bad or really stupid to taint the whole department. There's no other profession that's under the gun, especially in our society, like police departments.
I think that there's some truth there, especially today. We have this heightened sensitivity to police misconduct or even the allegation of police misconduct. And so that it only takes a couple of them to really bring them down. And I think this, by the way, is going to be a setback for law enforcement nationally. And I worry that this is going to give license to the libs in Congress to try to come up with another way to control or influence local police departments and sheriff's departments. And candidly, it's none of their business. That is not why Congress exists, to help run, manage, or provide guidelines for local law enforcement. That's not their business. They should focus on their own problems, but they don't.
And this is why one of the big problems is that we have very, very few real leaders. And that's why these problems get blown out of proportion so quickly. It would really be nice if Biden would just step up and be presidential and say a few things concerning the whole police situation in this country and how we as a society love to blame somebody or something and the police are easy targets. But that's not going to happen with this president.
I agree with you, Nick. I think the only thing we're going to hear, and thank you for the phone call, man. Nick's line is open, 303-696-1971. I think the only thing we're going to hear is more of what we've heard right now, which is the outcry, the wringing of hands, the And the legitimate outpouring of sympathy for a mom, and loved ones who knew this guy. I mean, he shouldn't have died based on the things that I've said. He should not have died, of course, or been beaten. But this is now going to be spun into some kind of a narrative that will be used as a wedge issue. We are now going to use, again, just like what happened with George Floyd, and they bootstrapped Elijah McClain into this thing. They're going to use this as a wedge political issue. I'm interested to know, by the way, which change.org petition got the governor to issue the proclamation, because typically he will not take action on these issues until there have been at least 2 million people on a change.org petition. I don't know how many caused him to issue this unnecessary release. I wonder if anyone in the media even asked him, why are you chiming in on this? I feel like the media, too, just because of how they're ideologically positioned, that for them, of course, why isn't everybody, every politician chiming in on this? Everyone should have some opinion on this thing that took place in Tennessee. I don't know. I don't know. Why doesn't the media ask him, why did you put this out? Why didn't 49 other governors put something out? What makes you different? Why do you feel it necessary to weigh in on this? Because I think the conversation that we had with Nick, and I'm starting to think this, if the race were different on either side of the transaction, this horrible criminal transaction, I don't think it gets the same coverage. Doesn't mean easier or better coverage, because honestly, it had been five white cops beating on Tyre Nichols, Memphis burns to the ground. If it's five African-American cops beating down on a white guy, there's no letter from Governor Polis to America that says, hey, I care, I feel, cops should be better. There's no chance of that. But the narrative is just right here for a conversation like that. Hey, listen, we're going to cut away for a break, and we're going to come back, and I'll get some more of these texts that keep pouring in right here, too. And then, of course, you give us a call at 303-696-1971. But I want to first tell you about Littleton Jewelry. Now, as you know, looking at a calendar, we are a mere, 16 days, maybe 15 days from Valentine's Day. Now, Valentine's Day is, not that you need an excuse, is a perfect excuse to get in the car and drive out to Littleton Jewelry. I think with 2 weeks left, too, you probably have plenty of time to do what they do best right now, which is the custom jewelry. You drive out there, go south of Hudson Gardens, just west of Santa Fe, super easy to get to, turn right by the jewelry repair sign. And you go in there and you see Jesse and you say, I'd like to say hi to Jesse. Jesse will come out. You say, hi, Jesse. I listen to 710 KNUS. He'll say, oh, we love 710. We love George. What can we do for you? And you become part of the family. And the thing that they do that is just so different and so special is the attention to the custom designed jewelry that you will help create for that special someone in your life, and just in time for Valentine's Day. You can bring in your old gold, silver jewelry. They'll appraise it. They'll clean it. They'll fix it. Hell, they may even buy it. They buy and sell gold, silver, platinum, coins, jewels, all that regular stuff. But they're also a watch repair place. That's how they got started when it was Jesse's parents so many years ago. But he's taken it to that next level. Become part of that Littleton Jewelry family. Go out there to littletonfinejewelry.com. Take a look around on there. But get in the car and go drive and see them. Honestly, if you want to feel good about humanity, meet a bunch of great people that are interested in working with you as a member of the community, not just a dollar sign, then go out to Littleton Jewelry and check them out. Tell them George sent you. They're going to love that, too. And here's the cool part. From now until tomorrow, and this has been going on for a week, all sterling silver pieces are 20% off through tomorrow. That gives you today and tomorrow to get over there and reap those rewards. 20% off. Go check them out. LittletonFineJewelry.com. That's LittletonFineJewelry.com. When we come back, Mike, everybody else on hold at 303-696-1971 and the text. It's me, George Brockler, on the George Show, 710 KNUS. George Brockler, right back with you here on 710 KNUS. Some texters here. One yellow flag for unnecessary roughness can send one team to the Super Bowl and the other team home after a great season. The Bengals' Joseph Asai spoiled yesterday games. Of course, the refs did too. One cop's bad judgment also causes problem for the whole team. This is a case of beating you into submission. I equate the police beating to the Biden administration doing everything to get us to submit to the COVID vaccine. I get where you're going, but that's quite a reach. Let's get to the phone lines. 303-696-1971. Mike, you're on 710 KNUS. Mike, what do you make of all this?
Yes, sir, George. I'm a little challenged by, you know, the stuff that does and does not make the news cycle. If it fits narratives, I've written you an email sometime back, one military guy talking to another military guy, but was stabbed within about 30 seconds to a minute of my life down at the library. It was a 23-year-old or 22-year-old black youth out of Ohio, but he had spent some time here in Colorado, and I can't get any information. I'm working for a FOIA. It's over a year now that my DA has deflected everything.
Really?
Inquiries.
This is in Denver?
Yes, sir, at the Smiley Branch Library. And so I've been encouraged highly to try to dig. I mean, I've got policemen that have dropped little hints as to the idea, dude, you know absolutely nothing about this guy.
Yeah.
And saying that same thing over and over again at various times. And between that and when they say they fingerprinted him, knew who they had, the judge saying it looks like he's got a history of mental illness, I want to know if this guy was just let out of the can, you know, during the 2020-2021 COVID cycle, this sort of thing. It's just, it's horrible. But I do got to say the other side of it that I'm challenged by, and maybe it's just me listening to this guy pleading for help, it really hurts my soul in that, you know, they had to port me in order to find out how fast I was bleeding out internally, and it's just disgusting. What, you know, so, if God ever could have heard me, that's when he heard me.
Where's the status of the stabber right now?
They've stuck him down in Pueblo, or at least they claim.
Mental health stuff then, right?
They claim they have. Yeah, and so can I prove that? Or are they just holding him in a cell trying to figure out the cheapest way? Because I'll tell you, my mom was called the day of this. I asked him to call my mom because I didn't know what shape I was in and was about to go in for surgery and dying. And they turned around and called her and told her I was stabbed out in the park and that I'd come into the library for help. That was the same thing that read on my crazy HIPAA report way back in the 600 and some pages, was that I was stabbed in the park. They were trying so hard to deflect, thinking that I was going to die and that the city was going to try to remove themselves as far as possible from taking any responsibility for it. So it's just such a challenge, you know, listen to this guy cry for help. It really hurts me. I think it's sort of like seeing somebody die on television. That's your last moments between you and God, and that crap shouldn't be broadcasted every 5 minutes. But that's beside the point. I know what makes the news and what doesn't. I'm sorry about that part of it, but it's just so hurtful and stuff that what I'm going through and that I can't get any traction. I can get a little bit because I'm sure somebody with that organization is listening right now. But I've written DAs, mayors. I've covered the city. They all know my story.
Is this guy still waiting to be returned to competency like the dude out of Boulder?
Yes, exactly what it is. They do not want to hear that this guy is capable of doing what he did and that they messed up letting him out over and over and over again.
Well, that shouldn't be reason for them to keep him down there. He should be, if he can be restored to competency, so he can be. How old is this guy?
He's 22, fortunately, so he's old enough to be held as an adult. And it's just, you know, I've turned around and submitted a CORA, and it's a $500,000 request for restitution with respect to how messed up I am on my left side and stuff like that and what all I've endured. But it's just an amazingly difficult thing to work through. And as a single guy, my parents are in their 80s, late 80s, out in the Lakewood Golden area, and I'm really struggling with how to get this off the ground and get it moving, because all I get back after a million questions on whether my DA has ever ran into this guy before or ever handled him, and my advocate is the DA takes the letter and says, no, we're appropriately prosecuting this case. And that was his sole answer to a series of questions. So it's difficult.
Mike, do you feel like the coverage here would be different if the color of the people involved was different, like if it was white here, black there?
I'm sorry, there's no question. If I had a Gadsden flag hanging in my front yard and as a white guy I attacked him in the library, unprovoked, you know, if I snuck up to him just like he did, he hunted me, knowing that this was going to get him three hots and a cot. Yes, sir. No question, it would have made the nightly news.
Is there any chance he was at the library to smoke meth? Because as it turns out, many of the libraries here are places people go to.
I'm coming down to that problem. I asked drugs. All the paperwork, almost everything is heavily redacted, and they indicate that there's no drugs involved in it. Now, is that something to try to keep it cleaner? Because I thought maybe it was a sales operation. He was in there for 3+ hours, as far as I know, hunting people. and it came down to me in the last 40 minutes having walked in. And they'll only let these 6 minutes of the tape before I was stabbed, stabbing, and 6 minutes after a full year, where these people back east, they request, and a week later, they're getting to review everything. You know, I mean, they're just screaming with their, you know, screaming their lungs out. And me, I've been screaming my lungs out here, and they've denied me, and I finally, on the behalf of this family, we want to see.
Well, Mike, I hope you get answers, and I hope you'll update us when you do. I think some of this stuff, though, too, is CORE is not going to be the right vehicle because it's still a pending case. They're going to claim it's criminal justice records under the CCJRA. And under those circumstances, law enforcement executives have a great deal of discretion as to what to release and not. So
my question to you is, what sort of timeline would I have in order to establish and say, all right, well, this is actually day one. I'm not sitting on this. I have not been sitting
it's
on
tough.
This.
It's tough. It's a tough one because as long as this guy is down south and they're looking under the hood and trying to restore him to competency, it freezes the process in place. And as long as that process is open and ongoing, I think the DA has the ability to say, I'm not giving you any records because it's still an ongoing prosecution. At some point here, this guy's going to come back here and we're going to have to put him in a courtroom in front of a jury. I can't have all this information floating around out there. That's what I think happens.
And at that point, I will actually then be able to pursue whatever I need to pursue and not have lost these year or 2 years in the process.
It's tough. Well, Mike, look, good luck. First off, I'm glad that you made it. I mean, it sounds like a horrific story, being stabbed at the library, and I'm glad that you pulled through. I do think the coverage here, and maybe this is part of the takeaway, this thing out of Tennessee is horrible because it's on video, but the coverage feels more and more like it's been tainted or at least impacted by the color of the people involved, by the race of the folks involved. I mean, it would be far worse if it were white cops on an African-American. It would be far less, in my opinion, and wouldn't get any sort of response from the governor of the state of Colorado if Tyree were a white guy. There's just something going on here. The dynamics of race in terms of the law enforcement piece, which are clearly not present here, are not present here. That is clearly part of the journalistic narrative that takes place with most of the mainstream media that's out there. They want there to be. I can't imagine how many newspaper folks were just bummed that every single officer involved was African-American. Like, are you kidding me? There isn't one white guy that we can use as he's the leader. He's the front runner. He's the reason. No, nothing like that, because this at its end had nothing to do with race. I know all these texters that are coming in here saying, oh, it's about resisting. It's about. Yeah, resisting's part of it. I get it. But maybe, too, some of the other texters are right. Maybe this is a function of the fact that we have created an environment where the cops are on their heels. They can't be proactive. They can only be reactive. They're reacting to the community. They're reacting to the increase in crime. They're reacting to the decreased accountability that criminals face even after they're apprehended. Maybe all of this is creating an environment, and I'm not forgiving these guys at all. I'm telling you, you can create an environment where people make bad decisions for which they should be held accountable. We should still be able to talk about the environment. Like, maybe that's what's going on here. Now, I guess I'm happy that we have video. I mean, you can only speculate as to how much of this stuff went on in the past that we never captured. I'm glad we have it on video. I'm glad that that person that had the pole cam there was good enough to try to, whoever that was, to train it on that scene. And maybe it's a city person. Maybe I don't know. I'm glad they were there for it. But this won't be the last one of these. And it's something that we should talk about, but it should never be the predicate, in my opinion, for congressional intervention on managing local law enforcement. That is our business. At most, it's the state of Colorado's business, but it should be the county's business or the city's business. But it should never be Congress's business. I mean, do you really give a crap what Nancy Pelosi thinks about law enforcement in Tennessee? I don't. Listen, that's it for us. We're going to come back tomorrow. We're going to have some more guests. I think I'm going to have Rose Puglisi on, give us an update on the legislature and some other things. We'll talk about the news of the day and more analysis on this. My thanks to the great Professor Smith from Baylor. You stick around. We'll be back tomorrow. George Brockler, George Show, 710 KNUS.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.